in the spirit of our continuing to acknowledge the women of Zen, this is summer edition, 2016 of Tricycle. And as I was looking through this, I came across the following, if I can read it. The title is Shakyamuni Buddha. Then, early in the morning, Soma the nun adjusted her robes and, taking her bowl and outer robe, went into Savatthi for alms. And when she had gone for alms in Savatthi and had returned from her alms, after her meal, she went to the Grove of the Blind to spend a day. Having gone deep into the Grove of the Blind, she sat down at the foot of the tree for the day's abiding. Then Mara, the evil one, wanting to arouse fear and horripilation, never heard of the word before, but it means goose flesh. Nothing worse than horripilation. Anyways, back to the story. So Mara, the evil one, wanting to arouse fear. Mara, by the way, is a masculine character. Wanting to arouse fear, horripilation, and terror in her, wanting to make her fall away from seclusion, approached her and addressed her in this verse. That which is to be attained by seers, the place so very hard to reach, women can't, without their 2-inch discernment. Then the thought occurred to Soma the nun, now who has recited this verse, a human being or a non-human one? Then it occurred to her, this is Mara, the evil one, who has recited this verse wanting to arouse fear, horripilation, and terror in me, wanting to make me fall away from concentration. Then, having understood that this is Mara, the evil one, she replied to him in verses. What difference does being a woman make when the mind's well-centered, when knowledge is progressing, seeing clearly and rightly into the Dharma? Anyone who thinks, I am a woman, or a man, or I am anything at all, that's who Mara is fit to address. Then Mara, the evil one, sad and dejected at realizing Soma the nun knows me, vanished right there. Okay, this is actually a very brief talk. And I'm going to start by reading a haiku you've probably heard 100 times by now. And it's a famous haiku by Basho about a frog. And the haiku is, old pond, frog jumps in, splash. And there's a number of versions of this. Another one is, old pond, frog jumps in, water sound. Old pond, frog jumps in, the ripples. So there's Senge, who was a Japanese monk of the Rinzai school, who was known for his controversial teachings and writing, as well as his lighthearted sumi paintings. Senge deeply appreciated Basho and his haiku, particularly this poem. And he honored Basho with an ink painting entitled Frog Under a Banana Tree. I didn't know this, but the name Basho is a pen name meaning banana tree. So unrelated to his admiration for Basho, Senge did another painting of a frog, and he called this painting Meditating Frog. Now, Senge is spelled S-E-N-G-A-I, S-E-N-G-A-I. I would encourage you to go online and look him up. His sumi paintings are fabulous, very simple but beautiful. So regarding frogs, how many of you have ever paid close attention to a frog? Okay, a few. So a few words about frogs. We'll start with the biology part. Frequently, frogs are found near water, no surprise, just sitting quietly. And as they breathe, a sac beneath their mouth pulsates in and out. And simultaneously, their stomach also pulsates in and out. As you also know, frogs have bulging eyes, usually set atop their heads. And the eyes allow them to see front and sideways, as well as up and down. Interestingly, frogs are nearsighted, and their eyes are sensitive to movement. If a frog's prey does not move, the frog won't see it. And also, as you probably know, frogs eat many things, mostly insects. This is a particular kind of frog, the kind of frog that you would find around here by a pond or stream. We're not talking about bullfrogs, which is a whole different thing. So a number of years ago, for a long time, I had a Buddha on my altar at home. And I came across, I don't remember where it was, Pier 1 somewhere. It was a big Buddha like this. I may have even brought this in one time. I'm a little smaller like that. And I replaced the Buddha with this big green frog. And I did this because frogs present to me the perfect example of how to sit Zazen. If you think about it, if you've seen a frog at all, they sit perfectly still, totally awake, totally aware, with no gaining idea. They just patiently wait for lunch to appear. And then subtly, without notice, lunch appears. Lunch lasts very briefly. So frogs just sit, just eat, just dive into water. Frogs seem to function totally in the moment, with no apparent concern about life and death, form and emptiness, who's a better frog and who's a worse frog. A frog lives a simple, uncluttered life. So I like to think of frogs as little Buddhas presenting themselves to teach us how to also be little Buddhas. Now, I wrote this brief little thing about frogs, and I was looking through papers that I had in the folder at home for something, I don't remember what. Interestingly, I came across a photocopy of an article by Suzuki Roshi, which was titled, the book was Not Always So, and the article, the chapter, was entitled Sitting Like a Frog. So maybe I read it a long time ago, and that's why this is here, but I just wanted to make sure that I gave credit to Suzuki. So thank you.